Father, we thank you for graciousness, the blessedness of our meetings, that which we have received through meetings, previous times and years and months, even until now. We ask that you again, as we honor to study the reality of our gathering together, you will help us to see by your word, to have grace in our hearts, to see our gatherings the way you will have us to see them. We ask that you will help every heart through this study today and in other weeks to come. And as we take study into the subject again, we will find it refreshing, we will find it inspiring, we will find it cultivating in our hearts that culture of honor of the one assembly. We ask that this afternoon, questions in these areas will be answered. Our convictions will be strengthened. We will walk in that which you have provided. We will receive and embrace the blessedness of a gift of our gathering together. We will see it that way. We will receive to the end that we have a better walk in our faith, in your faith, through your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright. So Philemon 6. He says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, from Philemon, Paul writes to Philemon, says the communication of thy faith. Communication of thy faith may become effectual. Another word for what is effective means to serve its purpose. Something that does not serve its purpose is not effective. Praise God. When you say that a person is not effective, it means the fellow is not serving. The fellow is not serving his purpose. Put someone in power and then say, your duty is to ensure that carried out, this is carried out, and then we get back to the, you know, we get back to look at the things we ask the person to do. I was observe that the things are not done. Are we together? That means the person is not being what? Effective. So effective means to serve the purpose while you're there. Are we together? That's what effective is. To serve the purpose. Serve the reason. To serve the purpose of why you're there. To serve the purpose of why you're there. That's what effective means. It means to serve the purpose. Amen. To fulfill the reasons. And have someone who is good at place of work, a good boss at work. Maybe he's a landlord, like you have a landlord association, right? Right? So he's a landlord. Maybe he executes his duties at the association well. They task him with some duties well. He executes his work at a place of work and all that. But at home, he doesn't have time for his kids. So that's not an effective father. It might be the same person can be an effective boss, but he's not being effective. Why? This is said of you. You're not serving that purpose. So that word effective means effectual. So Paul says that the communication of thy faith, effectual, may become effectual. May become strengthened, will begin to serve its purposes. It begins to serve its purpose. Effective. Are we together? Are we together? That means something begins to happen. It is the communication of thy faith. Might be effective, might be effectual. That means it's possible that I do not have an effective communication of my faith. Hallelujah. It therefore implies that the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is not just received. Now, if you look at verse 4, it says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Hearing of thy love and faith. Then it says, the communication of thy faith. So the faith here speaks about what Philemon had received. Yes, I know it also talks about what he has exercised, but it speaks about what Philemon had received. It's called his faith. So it says, what you have received will be communicated effectively. What you have received will be communicated effectively. So the communication of thy faith becomes effective. Your faith becomes effectively communicated. Are we together? So the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, when you're born again, you're told to have received the faith of Christ. Are we together? Because you're born again. Another word for that is that you have received the new birth. You're born again. You have received the new birth. You're saved. Peter 1:18 says, washed by his blood. You have been purified in your heart by his blood. Are we together? In Titus 3, verse 6, he says that he has saved us. Are we together? With the washing. Is it clear, church? That's a washing. A washing. A believer is saved. Is it saved? In 2 Corinthians 5, he says, you are now in God's new creation. Are we together? You are now in God's new creation. I am a new creation. Actually, you are in the new creation. Is it clear? He's saying, I am a new creation. But actually, the new creation is not just who you are, it's also what you are in. Are we together? So if any man in Christ, he is a new creation. He says, all things have passed away, become new, or all things have become new. So the believer in Christ is also in God's new creation. Are we together? In God's new creation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, you are God's workmanship. That is, you are the result of God's special work in Christ. You are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The word thesis, creation. So I am God's creation. I am God's creation. The word creatures in 2 Corinthians 5, a new creation. If any man in Christ is a new creation, new creation. The word thesis, from the word tiso, K-T-I-S-I-S, thesis. The K is silent. From the word tiso, Tizo, thesis. The word new there, are we together? Is the word kainos. So you have kainos thesis, new creation. So it was the same word thesis that was used in Ephesians 2 when it says we are the workmanship of God. Are we together? Created. The word workmanship is the word poema. Created. That word created is the word tizo. So you observe that tizo is like a verb. Thesis is an adjective or a noun, depending on its function in the grammar. Are we together? So it says, we are the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus, the believer. Paul explains that in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. He says, we are sons of God. We are sons of God. We are sons of God. In Romans chapter 5, and then in verse 17, he says, we have received abundance of life. Aye, glory to God. We reign in the life of God. Glory to God. Jesus calls it being born again in John chapter 3. Being born again. Paul uses the express word saved. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Saved. He calls that saved your faith being in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then in verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 5 precisely. Your faith in the power of God. Are we together? So we observe that the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is not just something that we receive. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is also something that we communicate. It's also meant to be communicated. That means the faith is to be learned and practiced. The faith is to be learned and practiced. Glory to God. So he tells Philemon that the practice of your faith becomes effectual. The practice of your faith. So I'm saved to influence others. the practice of your faith. Your faith is not known. James said, faith without works is dead. He said, show me your faith without your works. I will show you my own faith with works. He says, your faith without works is dead. Not because there's anything called dead faith. Dead there means inactive, unseen. So your faith without works is unseen. Your faith without works, and works there speaks about the fruit of faith, the corresponding fruit of faith. Because the works there could not be the same works in Ephesians 2. When he says, not by works, save not by works, lest any man should boast, it is the gift of God, Ephesians 2. Are we together? It has to be the faith of verse 10, Ephesians 2. It has to be the faith of verse 10. When he says that we are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Okay. So, Ephesians 2:10 are the fruits of your faith. So, Paul is saying to Timothy that your faith is communicated effectively, he says, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. He says, now concerning spiritual brethren, I would not have to be ignorant. I would not have you to be ignorant. Praise God. And then ignorant there is as opposed to intelligence. I wouldn't have you to be unintelligent. I would not have you to be unintelligent. One of the signs of a pastor in your life is that you are intelligent in the faith. That's when your pastor is intelligent, though. You are intelligent. Intelligence means you know knowledge. You have knowledge, rather. And you know the place of that knowledge. Are we together? That's intelligence. You have knowledge. You know the place of that knowledge. You bring forth fruits by that knowledge. Are we together? Are we together? The opposite of being intelligent is to be an illiterate. An illiterate. Now, the fact that someone is an elite doesn't mean the person is used. Yeah? But there might be areas of your life where the person is yet illiterate. So Paul is saying, well, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, I don't want you to be illiterate. Are we together? When it comes, to the things of the Spirit, I don't want you to be what? Illiterate. When it comes to the things of the Spirit, I don't want you guys to be illiterate. I don't want you to be illiterate. I don't want you to act like illiterate. Illiterate. One who is not learned. There's no knowledge in his mind. There's no working knowledge in his mind. Illiterate. So Paul says, I don't want you to be illiterate. Praise God. Imagine someone comes into your house. Maybe, sometimes I'm on my farm and I'm walking on the farm, and then I see sometimes I probably just need some input, counsel or whatsoever of around some crops I'm working on. And then to maybe the owner of a farm close to me, or I just look around at the farm at that moment and then I find somebody and say, hey, please, I want to ask you something. So the around, say, I'm trying to do something. What do you think? And then they give me sound intelligence. Because when it comes to that crop or farming intelligence, remember when I was rearing birds? I used to rear birds, a large quantity of birds, and I used to rear rats too. Yeah, the white mouse. I used to produce large quantities of this white mouse. You know those white mouse? They have pink eyes. Very beautiful, cute little creatures. I produced them for physiology students in the University of Baden. So I had large amount, produce that. And I used to produce goats also. I used to produce goats, produce all that. And I also had a fish, one corner there, and all that. So sometimes, especially with the birds, we'll call a vet or somebody who not a licensed vet. He just knows about birds. And then we'll call him and then we'll say, oh, when you are seeing this, this is what you do. And then he gives him. And if you're not careful, you can lose a whole bed, a whole pen, poultry of bed over a few hours. You just go to bed at night and you wake up and the enemy has planted what into your poultry, because you are not intelligent. Now, sometimes when those birds died and the person comes, he says, "Ah, did you observe?" I say, "We saw it. We just thought that that killed all." The moment you saw one dancing, like he's dancing in the spirit, pick it and separate it from the rest. Separate it. I know that, but we didn't know the earlier times. We left the bed then until a few hours. All the poultry is dead. Hundreds of birds. We see. The casala don't burst. We see. I remember when that started fish also. They had fish one coming there. Just to say that, this one is not going down. Just dead. What's happened? He said, when you see this, and you see this, and you see this, and you see this, you should have known. That's intelligence. Now, somebody who is so intelligent with animals, so intelligent with crops, or plantations of animals, can come into your house. Maybe I now take that farmer from one bush, inside, the outskirts of Ilorin there. I take the farmer, and I take him to Shoprite Mall. The person has seen that is as large as this place before. And then the person comes. And then the person sees people in the screen. I remember one joke I was told, that the grandma visited his son from the village. And as the grandma was sitting, and you know, they all went to work. The son had gone to work, the wife had gone to work. So the grandma was there in the sitting room because they played African magic, so that the grandma can see, you know. So in the African magic, in the movie, that's how two siblings, they were fighting. Then the elderly one started beating the smaller one. The grandma just took this thing that used to turn food and targeted the one that was beating. She opened up and he has been pow on the screen. That's not that. She's not when it comes to tech or gadget. I mean, she thought that maybe I don't know what's going on in her head. Maybe she thought they were just in the other room behind the TV. Yeah. Pani just took that, what do you call it now? This pistol. We just took the pistol, a big pow. Then she killed the TV. That's intelligent. Imagine someone walks into your house and say, who are these people? And then he wants to adjust his necktie or be new. Then you realize, because so you can be intelligent in an area, you are not intelligent in another area. Praise God. So God wants you to be intelligent. Now, when he says the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, that means all round. Someone say all round. Intelligent what? All round. Can we be intelligent when it comes to the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit? Ministry healing. Behind the compound, what's happening? That person is possessed. Then you jump the fence and run away. Where are you running to? You said it's possessed, right? You run. You up your slippers. Because you are not intelligent when it comes to handling the works of Satan. Some folks, they are not very intelligent in ministry affairs. They don't know how to handle ministry. Like I do tell, comes with, see, ministry is a different terrain. One of the intelligence of ministry is prayer. Adbahuadwa. Prayer. You must be given to prayer. Given to prayer.
You are driving, prayer. You are walking, prayer. You just wake up. You wake up, prayer. Before prayer meeting, prayer. Prayer at all times. He says, pray without ceasing. That means the time to pray is any time. Every time is a time to pray. Prayer. Yes. Patience. Is an intelligence. Ministry. Patience. You have patience. You have patience. You have patience. Patient with disciples. Patient with life. Patience is the fundamental ingredient in ministry. Are we together? Are we together? Talk about that first Saturday of February. Are we together? Patience. Not in a hurry. See, because you are in the ministry, because you are in the ministry, because you are in the ministry, patience becomes your own companion. You're patient. You're patient. Because you're in the ministry. If you were not in the ministry, yes, okay, that's different. But now that you're involved in the ministry, because sometimes, look at this, the way Satan works is that when words of prophecies comes to you, you are not the only one who hears it. Demons hear it too. Angels hear it too. And men hear it too. It's stupid. You're not the only one that hears your words of prophecies. Other men hear it. Other men hear it. Herod will hear it. Herod will hear it. Are we together? Are we together? Herod will hear it. So you're patient. Sometimes Satan has insights about the words of prophecies. And look at this. Just immediately. Have you not observed that the first temptation of Jesus was what? If you were the Son of God. Where did the statement come from? The statement came from the previous chapter. From the baptism of John, this is my beloved Son. Then Satan came. It was God who spoke. It was Satan that showed. Immediately the statement was made from the baptism, the moment John put him into water and he came out of the water, the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon him and a voice from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." Immediately from there, he was taken into the wilderness and the first temptation is, "If thou be the Son of God." So it's not only you that hears the prophecies. It's not only you. Are we together? So sometimes, the way to get yourself to function in what God has said is patience. Because Satan, hearing those prophecies, will now come to you with a shortcut. That was why he came to Jesus with. A shortcut. Eventually, you will get into that place, but he offers you a fast route. As a minister, an intelligence. Save you. You are patient. Patient with decisions. You are patient on money issues. You are patient. You are patient. I remember a time like that, so someone was going to give to me. The person had sent me money. I just knew not to touch the money. So I sent it into an account. And I lived as though the money was not with me. I disciplined myself. I needed the money, but I made sure I didn't touch it. Weeks later, there were trouble. There was trouble from his. He said that the money was moved from his account by that same boy. Yes. Oh. So I was wondering what was going on in his mind. I just put the money there. I just put the money there. I'm not sure that with you. The person was from the church. I just put the money there. And then, by then, the whole whatever, she says, I just give me your account. I wired the money back. I didn't start meeting she yesterday. So when I see this figure, you, this figure, okay, keep it. Keep it there. Someone sends money to church and then tell me, Pastor, someone has sent this amount to church. Okay. Who is that person? This also person. Okay. What does he do? This, he does this, he does this. Please forward the money into an account there and lock it up. Yeah. It's ministerial wisdom. I didn't start ministerial. I remember, I think that was a month ago or maybe a year or two now, that the brother in church had sent the money. It was the first time he would send that amount. I gave instructions. The brother would send that kind of amount. And we needed the money. The church needed the money. It wasn't sent to me, it was sent to the church. The church needed the money. I keep it there. And I called the brother. And I went this, having the conversation. That is okay. So this, okay. And then this. Okay, I get. All right. Thank you. And I gave instructions. Don't worry. We can use the funds to sort out church bills. Christian. It will bail you out. That's why I told you. When you can run, just walk a little bit more. When you get to a point where you can now start walking, just crawl a little bit more. Don't always do the things you can do. Are we together? The moment you feel you can do them. That's not smartness. Patience. Intelligence. Your patience. They say, Pastor, I like this person. Then before you know it, going to propose to the person. You are a foolish person. You're a foolish person. You're a very foolish and stupid person. And ministry cannot grow in your hands that way. Because now you're giving someone to disciple. You're giving someone to disciple. That's just simple ministry wisdom. That this person is given to you to disciple, not to date. Wisdom. I remember I told a friend of mine some months ago. I told, is it months now? Yeah, months ago, about 2-3 months ago. And then he saw me in a meeting. What was in his heart? Something was in his heart to tell me. So I remember, so we got talking at the break. So I brought it up with him. Pray for me about something. I said, pray for me about something. I now told him what he should pray for me about. Then he now said that he was feeling some, because he delayed to say it. If he now, it will now look like, because I've told him that. Because what I told him to pray for me about, he already got by revelation. So it was not like, was he slow? Because even now he starts telling me, it looks as though because I have told you this, now I want to be counseling him. I said, no, you should go ahead. So he now began to talk to me about something was going to open up to me. Now, obviously, it's to the church. But because of how that thing works, Lord will open up to you and all that. And I'm understanding that there is of that thing already around me. And that God was going to open more of it to the degree at which I am faithful with that one or two. Patience. So I understood immediately. In fact, it's still going on currently. That God is going to watch my faithfulness with that one to now open multitudes of that. You can't have disciples in that context. Patience. It's an intelligence. Are we together? So there's intelligence. How things are done. How things are done. Sometimes, because you involve the work of ministry, then you begin to receive some kind of challenges or oppositions from your people. By your people, I mean family, friends. Sometimes, there's a way to handle it. So sometimes, some people walk up to me and say, Pastor, Mom, my siblings have said this, they did this and this and this and this and this. And then I give some directives. And after a while, the whole thing is washed away. And you're able to serve God. You're even able to influence them. Because there's an intelligence. Intelligence, many times, is a function of experience. Experience. When you've had good experience, you become useful. So, what experience about the things of God? Now, look at this. Did you observe that right in Acts 15, Paul himself had a dissension with Barnabas? So, when he comes to the church and he says, stay away from dissension, he knows what. Obviously, Paul's ministry would have been affected by Barnabas not being around him anymore. Yes. So he comes, experience. Experience. So that's why I told you, it's not about having a Bible and reading it. You must have a pastor. Because Paul said, a bishop, that is a pastor of a local assembly, he says, must not be a novice. That means, one of the signs of a pastor, or one of the preparations of a pastor, one of the skill sets of a pastor is his experience. Experience in life, experience with pastoring. Accountability is an intelligence of ministry. Intelligence. Accountability, before it happens, you mention it. Before it happens, you mention it. The only way you can see it coming, you mention it. While you are involved in it, you mention it. When you are fulfilled and completed the project, you mention it. These are skills. So when you find a believer who does the work of the ministry outside this intelligence, that is an illiterate person. Praise God. That's an illiterate person. So intelligence means I know the what, the why, and the how. The how. Many times, the how is where a lot of us miss it. The how. There's the how. God is interested in the how. He doesn't just tell Moses build an ark. He gives him specific instructions. When you go into the Old Testament, you will see a whole lot of God's information containing the how. He gives Noah instruction about the ark. How? How? Jesus' instruction to make disciples. He shows them how. At the point in time, disciples came to him and said, teach us to pray. He shows them how to pray. He says, when you stand in prayer, say this. He says, don't do it in the public space where you can be seen. Now, don't pray in public space where we can be seen. Some people have taken that text to mean that don't pray in meetings. So they don't come to prayer meetings. He said, why don't you come to prayer meetings? He said, because Jesus says, don't pray where men can see you. Don't pray when men can. It has to do with the intention behind it. Don't pray so many. He's not saying don't pray in the meeting. And how do you pray so men can see you? 5 hours prayer meeting, you put it on Facebook. You don't have a prayer life. Those who pray, don't put it on Facebook. 12 hours prayer charge, you put it on Facebook and you sing for 8 hours. Alright, yeah, Lodi. Prayer is done. Are we together? How? How? So intelligence contains a lot of how. The how of things are taught to me. The how of things. Are you expected to practice it? The how. Glory to God. Then you know, I told us also that Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. Is a knowledge-based faith. Are we together? Is a knowledge-based faith. So, why do this? It's a major question to answer. Why do we come together in church? Why do we have Christian meetings? Why? So we're looking at Christian meetings. Because, you know, sometimes people can come to church and from the way they behave in services, you know that this fellow is an illiterate about Christian meetings. Sometimes you see someone coming to meeting, open to Matthew 5. He's pressing his phone. Matthew 5. We said to open your Bible. If we are in the street, we understand. But you came from your house to church, you are in shame. It's a shame. Intelligence. I know some lecturers, if you show up in their classes that the textbook they are teaching from, they send you out. That is secular knowledge. Now you are coming to secure your soul, to be fed in God's word. You show up without the Bible, you already compromise growth. Because where you don't have it. Where we are talking from, you already make it easy for yourself to be deceived in a meeting because you didn't show up with the Bible. So the preacher can come and say, the Bible says, heaven will help those who help themselves. And they say, where does the Bible say that? A preacher said that before. He said, the Bible says, heaven helps those who help themselves. I said, no. Heaven will help those who cannot help themselves. Help yourself that heaven came. Praise God. I said, praise God. So look at that. A believer, knowledge. You know why. Are we there? You know why you're doing this. I know why I'm doing something. I know why I'm doing something. I know why I'm involved. I know why I'm engaged with something. The why is important. See, the why is what makes you smart. Because you know why. Sometimes, when you know why someone is trying to pick a quarrel, you will handle the situation what? Smartly. Are we together? I remember I was coming out of office some days ago. I was closing from work. I was coming out of office. As I was driving out of my junction, a man just came with a kind of vehicle and blocked the whole road. Then he came down, coming to explain to me. He walked from where he was to where I was, coming to explain to me why I should go back. He had not even gotten to me. I said, don't worry. I put the car in reverse. So I was speaking to a person with me. I said, I know why he was trying to pick a fight. I know why he came. I know exactly why he did what he did. I know why he was trying to pick a fight. I know exactly why he did what he did. He was trying to pick a fight. So I went all the way back And then he came in, did it, and I just moved out. Are we together? Weeks before then, I just observed that when I put the vehicle at a place, some people mischievously, that was mischievous. I didn't know some people were watching me. And the way I handled those situations, it was later one of them mentioned it. One of them mentioned it to me. I didn't know why. Mischievously. Was the reason why they would block the vehicle and do mischievously trying to pick a fight. I didn't know some people were watching the way I handled it. So some weeks ago, a major company where I work just came and gave me a parking lot on their space. He said, "Pastor, don't worry, next time." I said, "Wow." It was later, weeks ago, weeks later, someone was now mentioning to me that that we saw that or that day. I didn't know. I knew why. When you know why, sometimes you are smarter. Is it clear? Some weeks ago, I was sharing with the workers that the fall of Saul is that Saul did not know why he became king. So after God made him king, the Bible said God spoke to Samuel. He says, "I repented, I regret that I made Saul king." He didn't know why he was king. So when I don't know why, I abuse it. Why am I a disciple? Sometimes some people don't know why they are staying in the same house with their leader. So they behave like idiots. You don't know why. You don't know why. Someone told me. He said, if someone can disrespect the person that you put in an office to function, that is in a position, if someone can disrespect the person that you have put in a position or in an office to execute the functions of an office, that person does not think any good thing about you. It does not revere you at all. It's not you. The person is handling that way. But the person sees the person you put in the position and treats that person anyhow, then the person does not rate you in anything. The person doesn't rate you a bit. Doesn't rate you. Someone say, why? So the why is important. So our study currently, the why is important to our study. Knowledge makes the Christian to be smart. It makes you effective also. And then verse 12. Praise God. Knowledge makes you smart and effective. How many of you know knowledge makes you effective? Yes. Praise God. Sometimes you try to do something struggling at it, and then someone says, "Do it this way." Oh, I didn't know. Oh. Remember, I was taking for someone some weeks ago. I was trying to get something done. I've always worked on the most recent version of that machine. The same machine, but the most recent one. The most recent ones are sold about 2 million, 3 million naira. A single machine. A particular gadget like that. So I'd always worked on that gadget to make it ready for the users. So, but this particular one was earlier. Around 2012 or 2013. So I was trying to get. Now, obviously, there's a way I'd always worked and prepared the newer gadget. But this particular one is 2013. So I was trying to get something done because majority of that machine that I've pushed out in past couple of weeks, I've been the newer one. I've not really worked on this older one. Hey God, I've spent a lot of time on this. Someone now told me to call. So when I called that person, the person came around to where I was doing the work, and then the person he just pressed pum 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 pum, and then he just inserted a file. I said, ah. So I was trying to get that thing to get it, which will lead it to the internet, so I can bring in some applications and then start working. The guy just showed me that he didn't need that. When he did, I had to pay him, which was what pained me. Yes. What pained me was that I had to pay him. Because he made me to, I was even angry at him that I had to pay him. Because I was like, you have come to my place, you have come to collect this, collect, I gave it to you. Now he says, they know they do, I'm like that. Say, hey, so now maybe fool Abby. Next time you go show. So I had to pay him. I had to send money to him from company account. I sent the money to him. By the time he sat down, he didn't use up for 10 minutes. And I even told me, yes, to teach me. He said, no, it doesn't happen like that. I will have to pay you to now teach me later. But it was so clear. Knowledge makes you more effective. Because I wouldn't have spent about an hour or two. And the customers were waiting and calling me. I was just saying, I was not on the honor. I was stuck. Praise God. I was stuck right there. The guy had to come just bam, inserted the file and then just washed the whole thing away, and then I was just seeing the imagine. This is his thought. This is, he said, I don't worry. I told him I will call him and I will pay him. So I will get the knowledge. But knowledge makes you effective. Knowledge makes you effective. So, Christianity is a knowledge based faith. So can we say more knowledge is more effectiveness? Thank you. Paul calls this kind of knowledge, he calls it epignosis. A word used about 20 times in the New Testament books of the Bible. Epignosis. Epignosis. It was used in Romans. It was used only in the epistles. That word epignosis was used only in the epistles. 20 times. The kind of knowledge that we are told to have. You find it used in Romans. Romans chapter 1. And then in verse 28. Romans 1:28. Praise God. Romans 1:28. Interestingly, it was used negatively here. Romans 1:28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. In their knowledge. Epignosis. He says God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are what? Convenient. Don't know righteousness. Romans chapter 3 verse 20. Epignosis. Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by law is the epignosis. In Romans chapter 10 and then in verse 2 he says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God but not according to epignosis. In Ephesians it was used 2 times. The book of Ephesians, it was used 2 times. In Ephesians 1 verse 17 he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give and revelation in the knowledge, epignosis of him. In chapter 4 and then verse 13 he says, till we all come in unity of faith in the knowledge of the Son of God. Epignosis of the Son of God. Hallelujah. In Philippians it was used also. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1 and then verse 9. Philippians 1 verse 9. It is, and these I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. In epignosis, I mean in judgment. So epignosis has to do with judgment. Epignosis has to do with what? It has to do with your value systems, all the value system, your judgment, how you judge things. So epignosis has to do with discernment. Discernment. Now, your discernment can be warped. Your discernment can also be precise. Discernment. It has to do with full discernment. A full discernment. Judgment. And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge. I mean, in all judgment. So, epignosis has to do with judgment. Now, look at this. What does judgment mean? Judgment means a knowledge that is working itself out through you. That's the way you see it. Now, you know it can be wrong, right? So, that's the way I see it. Now, the fact that that's the way you see it does not mean it is right. But it simply means that's what will power your action. That's what colors your view. That's your bias. That's what's responsible. That's what's responsible for your decision. That is the why for what you're doing. Your judgment. That's your judgment. That's your judgment. That's your judging system. That's what's responsible for what you call right, which might actually be wrong. That seems to judge that something is wrong, which might actually be right. Are we together? That is what you judge something with as a right. God's plan. Something, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? Say, why did you, what did you want us to do? You now said it in Yoruba that some people's own cannot spoil. If some people's own does not, no, some people's own cannot get, Ben told me, if some people's own cannot get better, if some people's own does not spoil. And that was his ideology for carrying out that act. I was like, why did you do this? He said, that is life. That's just life. That's just life. That some people's own can never get better. That is, some people cannot climb. If some people does not pull down. And that's what you did. So you see his ideology. That is his own epignosis. So he's responsible. So Paul is saying that the word of God will be your own word. Glory to God. Walking knowledge. Walking knowledge. Walking knowledge. My walking knowledge, God's word. My walking knowledge, God's word. Why are you not company with that person? Oh, there's a walking knowledge here. We don't see you come around when everybody is doing this. It's like the OS, operating system. It's like the software. The software. You know, you have Mac OS. Then you have Windows. This one is... Are we together? This is the software working here. That's the way we see. That's the way we reason. So there, I sent someone to you. I sent your number to the person. The person chatted you up. And now the person is not happy. Ah. That day I'm looking for a wife. Next time she hears my name, she will cross the road. That day I'm looking for a wife. Someone said, hey, sir, when are you going to settle down? I said, what kind of question is that? Do I look unsettled? You question that down here. She moruni. You know, when you are bubbling, like when you mix coke together, is that, so you look at me like this, you saw everything in my life, and you are not a settled bed. Like, something about. Oh yeah, word. Praise God. I'm very settled. Like I'm rumbling. You look at me like this. You look at me. Then your judgment is, you have a, your epignosis is warped. So that's epignosis. The way you reason, your judgment, what is of value to you? Are we together? Someone was having a women. I was already skeptical when the person said it's only the women of the fellowships that you attend. You see all those women conference. Another day. How is that skeptical? That's how the lady packed all the many sisters from different fellowships and gathered them in one place in some wonder. He said, is it Deborah or something or something? Deborah or Juliet or something? I don't know. I mean, it's Deborah conference or Hannah or Jezebel. So one of those names, yeah. And he's saying that, oh, everything that you need in your life, God has already given you. And what you don't have, God has given you something to get it. Ah! She gave. Then he called one sister. He says, look at you now. Look at what you are wearing. You're supposed to hold this from here. Yes. The Christian meeting. He says, that's what he said. Don't ask me how I got information. So people I was discipling had also gone. That was how all my work burnt before the day of the Lord. Everything burnt. They didn't come to my teaching service again. Delilah has grabbed them, or maybe they were even Delilah. They said Delilah Junior saw the mommy Delilah. He said, look at, so he called the sister. He said, look at this. He says, God has given you something that you used to get the things that you don't have that he wants for you. Ah. So now, sometimes you could be worried about those people, but you should be more worried about that woman. What is going on in her mind? Sometimes people take some decisions and I'm like, wait, when this person was doing this, what was going on in there? Hey, what was he thinking? That is the epignosis. So Paul is saying that the revelation of Jesus Christ becomes your what? Epignosis. Do you get it now? Do you get it now? That the word of God becomes epignosis. A walking knowledge. We can call it convictions. We can call it your practical wisdom. Practical insight. The word of God. Don't say the word of God. The word of God. Why are you not giving up? Because the word in my heart. I know that I will have these results. Why have you not changed your message? No. The word of God is working in my heart. Why have you not compromised your business? The word of God is working in my heart. The word of God. I told someone in a business that was going bad. So I had to walk up to the person because the person was the one that was supposed to supply me. And I told him, I said, you are making me to take my customers through a serious experience. He was some things to tell the customer lies, and he was telling me all that. And after a while, I said, sir, I don't do that. So he looked at me. I said, I don't do that. I don't do that. Those who work for me at the office, they know how I can be uncomfortable when a client that needs a resource. He's already been affected. He gets to me. And it's just my own work ethics. And it's just the way I say it. He said, no. I said, I don't do that. If I give customer 2 p.m., I'm there 2 p.m. If I tell the customer same day, I'm there same day. If I tell the customer this storage, that storage size. If I this quality, that quality. Don't package something for me and say, no, I don't do that. Epignosis. I don't do that. If you like, say, but boy, you're more business. If you like, say, this guy, that's my epignosis. Someone's even trying to mock the way I dress off because of the way the marketers are. So he was trying to pass a statement on me in the midst of some other colleagues. So I felt I should say something there. So after he was done talking, because I didn't feel very good. But I felt, don't let this lie at that moment. So I just said, going on in your life bigger than business, you show up in your business place like this. You know, I have some words and they keep them new. Yeah, by the time I said that, everywhere was barono. Yeah, because he was trying to pass a statement on me and talk smooth and score points. It was for score point on my body. I go, how are you? Yeah, my steel has to remain I think, I know you have something bigger than money making going on. You dress to the point of money making. That's working. And I dressed more. I went there. You get this thing? I don't get it. I didn't need it. See, I'm not like that though. A pastor, a Christian, you must have a thick skin or a tender heart. The tender heart is to care for the flock. A thick skin is to, so you can't be any small thing. Pastor, he said this to me. Daughter of Sceva. Even the seven sons of Sceva are bolder. Praise God. On the sons of walking on it. So look at this. Can we have a walking knowledge? Look at this. Knowledge, smart, and what? Effective. Knowledge. Study actually shows that animals, especially in waters, fishes that are life in a terrain, are smarter as they move in that body of water than the ones we introduce into new water. There's this custom of introducing fishes to new rivers. It is the ones that have been there all their life are smarter. They master the ways in the water because of knowledge. The same with every living thing. Knowledge. In plants, you have what we call the moment a plant senses there's light there, he goes there. And then he's able to produce. Because he needs that light for photosynthesis, right? See? So he goes there. That's knowledge. It makes you effective. It makes you smart. Knowledge. So I'd rather go to a church where I'm well taught than the one where I'm entertained. I'm entertained. I laugh in the meeting. Ka 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 ka. And I don't. The other one, I might not like everything that was said, but I live well informed and equipped to make better decisions. Like sometimes when we finish service and I'm out and I'm greeting people, I see some faces. I don't care. Me too, I looked at someone like that before. Okay. I looked at someone like that before. What do you mean when you were seeing me? Teaching everything I was. Are we there? Discernment. So Philippians 1:9 calls what? Epignosis what? Discernment. Judgment. In Colossians 1 and 9, the same thing. Praise God. Colossians 1 9. Look at Colossians 1 9. He says, "For this cause we also see that we are, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with knowledge of His will." Epignosis of His will. Epignosis of His will. So look at me, everyone. Did you observe that the writer said should be your is salvation? He says the reality of salvation epignosis. This is why we pray. It. But now we want what you have received. You have received it. You hear, they will say, "I thank my God, hearing of thy faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards the saints." So you have received it. It's now in you. But we want it to work in. So if it is not working, it is not epignosis. Is this clear? You can be in the church, and we are teaching you for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. A proof that you have caught that as an epignosis is that we are seeing the fruits. See, a preacher can come at epignosis. Because that you can say it does not mean that is the working principle, working knowledge in your thoughts, in your judgment, in your soul, in your mind. Epignosis. Colossians 2 and then verse 2. The same thing in chapter 2, verse 2. He says that their hearts might be comforted, knitted together in love, unto all the use of the full assurance of understanding, to acknowledgement, with the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Epignosis of the mystery of God. The mystery of God there talks about the growth in God's plan. Colossians 3, verse 10. "And I put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of Him that created him." Are we together? Are we together? You have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after. Renewed in knowledge is with the after. Hope you didn't miss that point. The knowledge. The knowledge is with the after. The knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Talking about, so the knowledge is not about that man. The knowledge is the knowledge of He that created him. The knowledge of Christ. So you are renewed in the one that is after God. The knowledge of God. Knowledge of Jesus. Colossians 3:10. In 1 Timothy 2:4, the same thing. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4. "Who we have all men to be saved and come to the epignosis." The working knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then in verse 25. He says in verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing them that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the epignosis of the truth," to acknowledge the truth. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 7, "Never able to come to the epignosis of the truth." Titus 1, verse 1. "Paul, the servant of God and apostle of Jesus, God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after the worship of God, godliness." Philemon 6, the same thing. Hebrews 10, 26. "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the epignosis of the truth," that it is now clear to you. It is now clear to you. "The what and the how and the why have been explained to you. If we sin willfully, Someone said he's talking about losing your salvation. No. Are we together? He's talking about not even receiving it at all. Willful sin in that text is unbelief. Alright. In 2 Peter 1, 2 Peter 1 verse 2. Grace unto you and peace rather be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of Jesus our Lord. In verse 3. According as his divine power given unto us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the epignosis of him that are in virtue. Verse 8. It is. For if these things be in you and about, they make you that you shall never be barren or unfruitful in the epignosis of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge and epignosis of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Again, it's not talking about those who lose their salvation. It talks about those who have received the understanding of the gospel yet do not believe through preaching. So epignosis is what is working in you. Glory to God. What is at play through you? I need to ask you, what is at play through you? What is at play through you? What is working in your heart? It can be positive, it can be negative. What is at work in you? What are your points of consideration? What makes you to consider the things you consider? What makes you to? What makes you to? Remember a Christian woman like that? Then he just came out of the blues. And then he began to say, oh, that another man had tried to sleep with her. And then by the time, so the fellow came and said, I don't know anything she's talking about. And then that one insisted. He said, no. And all that. So by the time the leader then called them, so they asked. So what happened? So she later just confessed and said no, that she was lying. Then I said, why did you lie that kind of lie? So she said, because he wanted him to marry her. And then he didn't. So she feels she should ruin the home. Now, Paul speaks about that kind of. He says that's wicked. That's sensual. But that is an epignosis. What is at work in your? What is happening in your head? See, the challenge of many Christians is what is happening in the head. There's a way you think that makes you behave the way you are behaving. It is that faculty where you reason, that part of you where reasoning takes place, that then leads to action. It affects your judgment, the way you see things, then you act God's word wants to enter. Do you get it? See, right or wrong. That's when you judge right or wrong. I told someone, I said, the fellow asked you to do this. Then he says, but I can't just do it because he asked me to do it. Then he didn't know when it dropped from his mouth in Yoruba. He said, the mate of my younger brother. Are you mad? You must be mad. This is church. That's the mate of my younger brother. Welcome to church. Where the mate of your younger brother is your pastor. Is your cell leader. Are we together? God has Mary, the mother of Jesus, when he told Peter to take up the church. Go ask her. She sat there when Peter got up to address the 3,000. She dare not get up. Peter was barely 21 years old. If Jesus had been 30, then his mother is probably or 50s at that time. That is church. But that is the epignosis. That was the knowledge working in the earth. That's the knowledge working in the earth. That's the knowledge working in the earth. That's what's going on. The chemical reaction that is going on in the brain. That's it. That's the epignosis. So God says, my word. The word of God means my counsel. What does this counsel mean? My view. God's view. God's view. God's view. Are we together? God's view. God's view. So yeah, me, I cannot marry you if we don't test each other. And he was saying it publicly. In a public place, yeah. Yeah. We have to test. We have to test each other. Yeah. But let's test her. And he was saying it. He was saying, he was saying, hey, yes now. Hey, yes now. Ah. Yeah, come on. That's a worldview. That's a worldview. Are we together? Are we together? That's a worldview. You tell someone, why are you stealing? He said, ah, don't you know that the bottom of wealth has debt? He said it in Yoruba. That the bottom of wealth has debt. That's why you are stealing. See, that's a worldview. And you ever aren't going to be different except there's a different worldview in there. So I'm actually God's word in motion. Remember a lady had walked up to me so many years ago. She said the reason why I couldn't go on with the marriage is that the guy was asking. Not just the guy, actually. He said the guy's mother was asking that she should get pregnant before she can give his son to her. I said, what did God tell you? He said, God told me he's my husband. He didn't hear God. You know those people that are saying that, what scripture are you standing on? See, that thing has ruined a lot of things. See, what scripture? Any time you find the scripture, stand on it. Even this scripture is saying this, no one saying this, no one saying. Please check the Greek word in the previous verse. This is what I'm saying. I told her, I said, so what do you want to do? Yeah, I don't know what to do. Ah. And that's why I came to you, sir. Me too, I don't know. I like Cuba. What do you want me to say? Before you know, they will say, is there the pastor said? Yeah, I don't know what to do. Yeah, and that's why I came to you, sir. Ma? I know many things, but this one, I don't know. Are we together? Some people already know what they want to do. They are just looking for somebody that they can say he was the one to fear. It's not me. It's not me. You know when you see meat in the pot and the vegetable is still here And they say that, who sold meat in the pot? Because they are giving you the grace to actually confess. You know what I'm saying? It's not me, oh. It's not me, oh. It's not me, oh. In fact, I cover the pot well. It's not me, oh. It's not me, oh. I only open the pot and I thought there's the meat there and I close it back. Many of us have lied before like that. You didn't like just give yourself out. Because the question is now, what of the pot? I don't want them to check it. Only. Praise God. Are we together? So look at this. Knowledge makes us effective. So God's work, working itself out in my life, is God's plan. It's God's plan. So we're looking at Christian meetings and we're looking at what it means, what they mean to us. Now, obviously, there are different meetings in the church that is strong. How many of you know you have a strong local church here? That's it. Thank you. In a strong local church, there are different kind of meetings. See, there are places where they don't know the different kind of meetings, though. Everything is just jam-packed like jollof. Imagine the same pot of food that you pour sembo, you now add rice. Then you bread. We must start finding out, not what are you doing, no, what is doing you. Because what you are doing is a sign that something is acting upon you. Then you add rice. Then you add sembo. Then you pour some elubo. Then you pour palm oil. Then you pound it. Then you just cut potato. You did not even peel it. Pour it inside. I've seen this something before, that they added carrot. Then you go. Then you cut carrot. Cucumber. You cut, what's it called? Cabbage. Green beans. Everything. Pour it inside. Then you're standing. What else? What else? The spirit just speaks to you. Get some Coca-Cola. They just go. Any Coke. What do you call that? They will say you are eating what? Poison. Are we together? Some of us eat like that. Some of you. When you see a brother with the spirit of God eating bread and indomie. With the Holy Spirit. Not the only spirit, oh, Holy Spirit. You know there is only spirit. You take a mala with he said, no. Hey, what is this? What does this? Now, okra and bread. Imagine. And then we are praying that there should be move of the spirit. The spirit has already moved. Praise God. That's exactly what happens when you organize a meeting. And someone is asking you, what is the purpose of a meeting? Like I was asking the minister. He said they were having a program. I said, what's the purpose of the program? He thought I was mocking him. I said, it's a normal question. Purpose of the special meeting. Some people, if we even say, oh, we're having a meeting in church, they don't know what it means. They didn't know she has their program. It's the same thing. So we're having a teaching. What's teaching meeting? Where are you from? A prayer meeting. Yeah. Prayer meeting. Say prayer warrior. So you have a single program, then you bring like 10 preachers who does not teach the same thing. The moment one says Christ is risen from the dead, the other one says he don't enter grief. One says, oh, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are not forgiven. Your sins will be forgiven. No, no, no. Your sins are being forgiven. Which one? That is poison. Are we together? A local assembly knows its meetings. There's teaching meetings. Glory to God. Evangelistic meetings. And there's a believers meeting. Hallelujah. Believers meeting. You know, we can also have one that we call the ministers meeting. We have a Holy Ghost meeting. The believers meeting and the Holy Ghost meeting is the same. A Holy Ghost meeting. And it's a different meeting from a prayer meeting. And it's a different meeting. And it's different from evangelism. Praise God. So the kind of things I do when I come to church meetings can show whether I have or whether I'm an illiterate. You see someone in church operating his fools, like in a teaching service. So he's trying to receive calls. That's an elite. Sometimes we're in a meeting and then we are ministering the things of the Spirit and we just stand like this. That's an elite. Sometimes there's someone to pray in the Holy Ghost. I feel like becoming a co-coach. The image will never I'll fly, enter, come out of the nose. I'll carry my mic again. Unintelligent. Illiterate. Don't forget, I said, the person can be little. Don't forget the farmer I told you about. Yeah, we took the farmer now to ShopRite. They discovered this one will be agricultural. So it can be literate in an area. But meetings, church meetings, can be an illiterate. When we are singing and we are ministering to the Lord and we listen up holy hands and we are singing in tongues, some folks, they just sit down. Some even cross-leg. In them. They don't say, I don't like the service, I don't like the worship songs today. Yes, now. We're not worshiping you. Are you not serious? What do you mean by you don't like the worship song? Were we worshiping you? Or are you God's mouthpiece? We're not singing to you. We're ministering to the Lord. And He likes it. Are we together? Some folks feel, hey, in church. And there's this song, I think, I will dance more than you, something like that. In Yoruba. And like, if your neighbor dance more than you, you will perish. There's a particular... It's a particular song like that. Then when you're done dancing, he said, if you want to collect a blessing, you must jump. The one that jumps the most goes home with the most blessing. Oh God. You are not worshipping God with that one. He said, that you come on the most. With no. That's not worshipping. That's not worshiping God. That's where we now begin to outdance each other. So I look at my neighbor, I see what he's doing. They need to do something better. That's not worshiping God. That's not worshiping God. That's not how to worship God. How will you worship God? They don't even get into God's word yet. But how are you going to worship God if you came into the meeting and your attention is 100% on Him? What will your posture be? That's it. Do you understand? So in your church, why can't we dance? As in, katule. No. We did not want to say. Are we together? That's not church. Some folks come into church not knowing where they are coming and know where I'm going to. So we're looking at Christianity, what it means to us. What it means to us. Worship God. That's dancing. And then we are sweating and sweating. They said the one that can sweat more. What exactly are we doing here? What exactly are we doing here? So the person that can sweat most. I know how to sweat too. I will go down now and be doing press up. I'm also doing it unto the Lord. But then I do like 24 times. The sweat will cover you. I'll go home with the greatest blessing. And then you are saying a posture. Are we together? That's not how to worship God. That's not how to worship God. Some people come together. They just carry chair. I'll carry whistle. Then you now see the worst groups. They will now carry food. Oh Lord. Camera in themselves. Were a fool. To worship. In worship, there is reverence. Where is your reverence? Where is your reverence? Suddenly, God is on board. They will come to the pulpit. Yes. I've seen one before. A camel. Get to the pulpit. One camel. The person that was leading praise and worship. And the prison that they released the brother from. And so they were we need to be you all. But then you now ask them, how? Oh, you were blessed. You are not blessed. In fact, you are not blessed. That's not how to worship God. And there's nothing wrong in dancing. Are we together? You have to dance. Some of you don't even know how to dance again because you started coming to our church. No, now. You don't know how to dance again since you started coming to our church. Service. Just 30 minutes. The music is taking on 30 minutes. It's just 30 minutes on Sunday. So it's not because they are coming to church that you don't know how to dance. At what? See, the moment you are done with church, go home. Play song. Play a Ebenezer that obey. But you don't know you can listen to those songs. Play a Ebenezer that obey. And then what is not? It's not. Oh, Lord, take me to the place. Every day, every time. Are you not at the place already? You know what I'm saying? There are a lot of presenters in church. It's when they get to one Umobugila community that nobody is there. I will catch you one. Devils will find you there. There's nothing wrong. You play the song, you dance. You can dance, no key. Thank you, okay. Are we together? Gershon, he said, which song should we play? Play the heavenly song. Have you even forgotten the songs? Play the song. Where's right? Put right there, put drink there, put there. Let's eat some more. Dance. That's what we came to do. Not songs and interviews. At wedding. You wedding, Wolele. You kind of wedding. We will not come to this kind of wedding again. Kind of wedding. You pray. May not feed with your glory. We kind of wedding is this one. We kind of wedding is this one. Wedding is this one. In all the end. We left church because if we know we want to do in all the end, we'll just hold the service now. Let's just hold service now. Bring an MC. MC, don't shout up. And put songs there. And dance. Leg back, man. Put it there. Put it there! And dance. Who sang that one? Put it there. Dance. When we come into church service, we are not pretending, but it's just a completely different meeting. Is it clear? Nothing wrong in playing a spiritual song during wedding, though, but I know where to play with that. Dance away your soul. Are we together? That's when we invite you from home. We invite you. They come. And then they are playing songs, and then you are just lifting up your hands. Someone said, Pastor said we should not clap again. He's so bad. He's so bad. I didn't even say don't clap in church. I didn't even say that. He said, okay, boy, that we should not clap in church. No. I didn't say don't clap in church. So when someone is doing something, John, I said, please let's give you a round of applause. Everyone's like, but your job no pastor. No. I've not said don't clap in church. I only said clapping is not how we worship God. There's no single text in the Bible that says to clap in worshiping God. Because clapping is the world's way of celebrating celebrities. And secondly, clapping in the scriptures is actually mockery. In the culture, in the olden day culture, they did not clap to worship. They clapped to mock. It's a mock. So when we are worshiping God, you lift up your hands. Why? Because lifting up your hands is worship. So when we come together and we are singing, we sing with hands lifted up. See, how you show supremacy to another is that you lift up your hands, or you bow, or you kneel, or you lie down. Those are worship postures. Because Jesus is not a celebrity. We don't clap. He is not a celebrity. He is Lord. When you are worshipping a Lord, a God, you lift up your hands, or you kneel, or you lie. That is worship. There's nothing wrong in clapping hands. There's nothing wrong in clapping hands. Are we together? Are we together? So look at this. What you do in the church service. I begin to close here. What you do in a church service when you come around, what you do in the church service literates or illiterate that you are. So the kind of things you do gives you away. Maybe you are trying to be noble. I don't want to rob myself. The kind of meeting where we did, what you do there shows that you are there. We're having Holy Ghost meetings. One of the signs that you are intelligent and smart in the Holy Ghost meeting is that you are rough. After Holy Ghost meeting, you are dirty, sweating. Are we together? That's what shows that this one is smart. Come together. Now you come to the church meeting, and then have a meeting, and then you're just like, laugh. Let us rejoice. You are using one side or another. He said, let us rejoice. As the people are jumping, he said, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Like a chicken. So I. You get it? And then, rejoice in the Holy Ghost. Your hand. Literally, brother, you are full of the flesh and pride. In the Holy Ghost meeting, you flow. Is it clear? Is it clear? The moment you sense it, that's when we know that this Eli, whom or what? So then when I go out for meetings, I sense if it's Holy Ghost meeting wants to bust out. I just adjust my time. Sometimes I'm not seated in front. Maybe I'm seated towards the middle part. I mean, of the first division, therefore, definitely. And so sometimes I'm seated around some very, I see the, you know, these beard gangs. There. My time is only goes. I'm the one that will start first. So if you look like all that, when I came, I say, ha ha ha, I'm the only good man who flow. You are not conscious of your composure. Are we together? You make sure the stress gets to 0%. 0% stress, 0% what? Composure. That's how to go home with only 100%. Is it clear? 0% composure is how you are going to go home with 100% power of the word Holy Ghost. And vice versa. Ezekiel Church, Holy Ghost meeting. When you come to teaching meeting and say, all right, let's start the one, then you bring one useless, unfortunate fool to type, to jot. Instantly. Yeah, the boy. Any moment he's sitting down and there's a preacher on the pulpit, he has a book and a Bible he writes on. I've watched him over the years. See, what makes great Christians is what makes Christians great. Culture. Stick with it. They will call you SU. Stick with it. You can't even heal a blind fly. What you do in the meeting. A teaching meeting. So he said, let's receive God's word. Then you bring out tablet. Then, I mean, obviously the picture too. What do you say?
They collect that tablet from you.
Right. Amen. Right. Writing is a sign that you are literate. Because you're coming to a Christian meeting, a teaching meeting.
What about prayer meeting?
When you come to prayer meeting,
you come there to
what? To pray. You come here to pray. If we have said, oh, we're having a camp meeting, keeping the apostolic tradition, where we spend a large part of the meeting praying, then you show up for the first session. And like Bro Caesar's shoe. We just know that. Yeah. This is an illiteracy. 24 hours prayer. It be sweet. Well, maybe you want to divide the clothes after the committee. So you can send it to the 33 states as an apron with God's power in it. That's your plan. That's your plan. But Omo,
you get
an old brother. Everybody's on old. Then you pick a slippers or a Crocs or a light boot, then muffler. That is literate because of the meeting you are what coming for. Is it clear church? Alright, let me begin to close. So lack of reference, use of phones during service, use of cameras to take moments during service, shows illiteracy. Because it is not just singing, the Spirit of God is amongst us. In Matthew's Gospel, therefore, Matthew's Gospel, 28. Glory to God forevermore. Matthew 28. Look at Jesus. He says, go into all the world. Go ye therefore rather and make disciples. That is the word teach them. So God gives us the task to make disciples. Notice this. He never says, go ye therefore and encourage men to be disciples. He didn't say that. Look at me, everybody. This should change you for someone here. You are not told to encourage people to be disciples. You are told to make them disciples. And that completely revolutionizes your ministry, if you understand that. Make them. Someone comes to me, he says, sir, I have this brother, he doesn't pray. He says he loves God, he likes the things of God, but he doesn't pray. He doesn't. When we are having church services, he's not forward to being in services. Then I said, make him to. Yep. Make him to pray. That's discipleship. He didn't encourage them to be disciples. He didn't advise them to be disciples. He didn't counsel them to be disciples. He says, make them. So I have a duty to make men to pray. You make him pray. How? How then am I going to make him pray? Go to his house, hold his hands, take him out of his house. We please pray. Am I going to hold his neck and threaten him with a cutlass? No. I'm going to go to his house. I go to his hostel. I go to his quarters. I go into his estate. I go and I hold him by hands and I lead him to church on Sunday. Before he leaves the house, I ensure he reads a copy of the Bible. And his writing materials. When he gets into the service, I ensure he takes a note. I check his notes immediately after service. Later on Sunday or during the week, I go back and I check him and I go over his notes much more detailed. That is making him a disciple. His or her offerings. I check his offerings and I ensure that he has something to give in the service. That she has something to give. I take him out, I spend time with him or her listening to someone together. I pick them up for service, I follow them up. I make them do it. I train them to do it. So discipleship is to train people to do God's word. That means we can also train to be in church services and to honor and to value and to receive. He says, teaching them to observe all these whatsoever I have commanded you. So what is commanded? One of the things that is commanded is Christian meetings. Glory to God forevermore. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. One of the things he commanded is the gathering of believers. I must train people. I must make people to honor, to receive, and to be present in Christian gatherings. Are we together? So a top-notch practice of the life of a believer is observing Christian meetings. Glory to God forevermore. Observing Christian meetings. If you look at how Mark puts it, I close here, pray for me. Mark says, in chapter 16 and verse 15, the signs shall follow them that believe in my name. He says, they shall what? They shall cast out devils. Are we together? He says, they shall speak with new tongues. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. He says, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not what? Lay their hands on the sick. He says, and the sick shall recover. Five things mentioned there. Cast out devils. Speak with new tongues. Take up serpents. Lay hands on the sick. Drink deadly things. Taking up serpents, they have to do it on doing the works of Satan, which includes persecutions. So the signs of a believer are supernatural signs. Glory to God. Now, you know, sometimes you look at someone and then you say, I think this fellow is a Christian. Why? Because the person talks nice, the person doesn't quarrel, the person dresses well, the person is well composed, seems to live a responsible life. I mean, I've had people walk up to me before and say, I'm a good pastor, lady. And they say that to me in the marketplace. I'm with Pastor Lane. And I know that the only reason why they'll be saying that is maybe the way I conduct myself and my engagement activities. Some of them even get to later on hear that, oh, maybe I pastor an assembly. So they say, oh, no wonder. Is it because of the way I conduct myself? So sometimes you look at a Christian or you look at someone who composes themselves properly, exemplary, someone who doesn't brawl, doesn't, you know, get offended easily, railing and then shouting, is not found in unwholesome place. And I said, this must be a Christian. And that's okay. But look at this. Biblically, how do we know Christians? The signs. The signs. The signs. The signs. Shall follow them that believe in my name. How do I know, believer? Supernatural signs. Look at me, everyone. When believers are gathered, how do we do a Christian meeting? The supernatural. We must never get to a point where composure becomes all we have to admit it. Because I tell you, there are some meetings we come for that we are not meant to be composed. Christians. How do we know Christians? The supernatural characterizes our gathering. It is not just a mere moderacy, calmness, gentleness. Christians are miracle workers. Are you with me? Oh, are you with me? Are you with me? Christians are what? The believer has signs. Signs are pointers. Because what you believe is the resurrection. There are signs of the resurrection. Because where you are today is in the resurrection of Jesus. There are signs that this man is in the resurrection. And those signs are supernatural. Cast out devils, speak with tongues, healing the sick, taking up serpents, taking the deadly thing shall not hurt you. So we have supernatural indicators, proofs of believing. The believer is a proof producer. So our meetings are proof producing meetings. I tell you, church, and I warn you. Are they cell meetings? Is it evangelistic meetings? Prayer meetings? Teaching meetings? We must never get to a point where our meetings become ordinary. Oh, sure. It need not be spectacular and the supernatural is working. But the supernatural can also be spectacular. Are we together, church? So part of our serving God is ensuring that there's a supernatural touch in our meetings. Evangelistic meetings, where the things of the Spirit is ministered alongside with the gospel. Part of our serving God is ministering to people by the power of the Holy Ghost. So someone is sick, comes into our meeting, receives healing. Someone is possessed and finds his way into our meetings, set free from demonic afflictions. Are we together, church? So Christian meetings are characterized by the supernatural. So we said Christian meetings is what it means to us. They are moments of supernatural activities. Church services must remain moments of supernatural activities. He says to them in Luke 24, he says, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. They had the supernatural consciousness to that meeting. So on the day of the Pentecost, they were not sure what is happening here. They knew what we are looking for had arrived. Can you sense it when the power of God drops in meetings? And I told you, it's not likely that all spoke with tongues at the same time. One must have started, then the other picked. Then the other thing, then the other thing. Obviously, they were all taught. But you see, Christian meetings are avenues. Are we together? To distribute, to inspire, to receive, to cultivate the move of the Spirit in our lives. Let me say this. Our meetings as a church are the points. You can call them potters. Are we together?
Our meetings as a church are like supernatural portals where we come to contact and to minister the supernatural. When you got born again, look at Genesis 1. I'll talk more on that next meeting. In Genesis 1, he says God created heaven and earth, verse 1, in the beginning. It was void and without form. And he says, darkness was upon the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Then he says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Glory to God forevermore. I have opened the Bible. And the first thing I see is God. I read a little bit further. I saw Spirit of God. Look at this. When you believe the gospel today, one of the first things you are told is that you have eternal life. And that is not physical. That is spiritual. Then one of the things you are told when you believe the gospel is that God is your Father. Now you know that you didn't come out from God's loins naturally. But you believe in the spiritual, a supernatural fatherhood of God. Right? You find a Christian. You get someone born again. You give him a copy of the Bible. He gets born again now. This is 1:35. So he gets born again right now. And then you give him a copy of the Bible. So he leaves and he finds the nearest place at the nearest time, and he sits down and opens the Bible to read, and the first thing he sees is God. Supernatural. Spirit of God. Supernatural. It shows you faith in Christ is actually a subscription to the supernatural. So I wonder where there's a Christian that is laid back, does not believe, is not forward, he's not zealous, he's not open, accommodating to the supernatural. That is an anomaly. Faith in Christ is a subscription to the supernatural. Faith in Christ is a subscription to the supernatural. In fact, look at this. Sometimes when a Christian dies, what do we say? We say he has gone to what? To be with the Lord. Supernatural. And his body is here. But we say he is with the Lord. Supernatural. So the Christian faith is very supernatural. It's very supernatural. It's actually faith in the supernatural. Are you listening to me, church? Supernatural. Supernatural. God is my Father is supernatural. Faith in Christ is supernatural. So to believe in God's word, to believe in what God says, is to believe in the supernatural. So look at this. Jesus says in Matthew 28, I'll build on it next week. He says, where two or three people are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, that presence, is it something you can touch with your hands? Well, eventually you should. But is it something that is literal that you can touch with your hands? No. Are we together? That presence is also supernatural. Where two or three people are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Supernatural. So I close by saying this. A church service is a supernatural gathering. A supernatural gathering. Any kind of church meeting is supernatural because Jesus is there. Any kind of meeting of believers, he is there. A very simple fact, but that is the reality of our faith. That is the reality. Now, Christians can meet as clubs. Christians can meet as secular organizations. Christians can meet for tutorials on campus. Christians can meet for, we can meet as a football club. We can meet to even, in fact, we can belong to the same football club. I'm not even saying that maybe a football club that we subscribe to. I mean, actually playing. We can gather together to play a match as a club. And we're Christians. We can have a club and there are 2, 3, 4, 5 Christians there. And we arrange a tournament and we play the tournament. They play the game. Are we together? But look at it. It doesn't make that meeting supernatural. So he says, gathered in my name. In my name. In my name. In my name. That means what ought to accompany our meetings is the supernatural consciousness. God wants us to be conscious of the supernatural. He says, there I am where? In the midst of them. Don't forget in Matthew 28:20. It says, lo, I am what? With you. Lo, I am with you. There I am in the midst of them. Lo, I am with you. There I am in the midst of them. Lo, I am with you. There I am in the midst of them. God in our midst is God with us. God in our midst is actually God with us. What does that mean, church? What does it mean that God in our midst is God with us? It shows you this, that look at this. When we gather together, when we come together, we actually have not come to God. Pay attention. He says, I'm in the midst of them. Then he says, I'm with you. So the gathering of Christians is not us coming to see God for the first time, or coming to see God after a while, or coming to meet God after some hours. No. It is actually us coming with his presence. Because when we come to meet him, we came with his presence. So when it says, oh, I've come into the presence of God. Oh, we have come to... you came with the presence, not to the presence. Are we together? You didn't just come to the presence. You didn't just come to the presence. You actually came with the presence of God. So we don't come to meet God here. We come as men indwelt by God. We come as men indwelt by God to do what? To practice the reality of that indwelling. To practice the reality of his presence. I'll say more on that in the next meeting. But my consciousness in the meeting has to be supernatural. Has to be supernatural. And how do I switch my consciousness to the supernatural? The way I see the meeting. So Christian meetings ought to be seen as what? Supernatural. Are we there? Are we there? Are we there? Christian meetings ought to be seen as what? Supernatural. Now look at this. Look at this. If we had had a meeting at the football club and I met with Christians, now the moment we come together as a Christian meeting, my consciousness changes from ordinary to what? To supernatural. One of the things that means is this. Listen clearly. It means that in the meeting, the way I see people outside the meeting changes. If I've been with you outside the meeting, the moment we come together in the meeting, the way I begin to see you, what changes? Because yes, we just cooked. Yes, we just played football. You are my classmate. You are my teammate. Maybe you are my sibling. In the Christian meeting, I begin to see you in the light of what is of God that comes to you. Supernatural. So it means the way I see church services is the way I'm going to receive from them. Now, he's seeing church services in a way, he's seeing the people there in a way. The way I see people during meeting, the way I see people during church services is the way I'm going to receive. It means, therefore, also that the way I see people in church service is the way I worship God. The way I see people. The way I see people in church service is the way I worship God. If I have an ordinary perception of people during the meeting, I will not receive what is of God. See, there is healing available in the service. I am sick in my body, but I never got healed because of the way I saw the people in service. Supernatural. I say that today and I'll close. The supernatural. The way I see people. Now, obviously, if I'm to see people in a different way in service, that consciousness ought to follow me to the service. So when I have interactions with believers outside church services, it must be with a supernatural consciousness. So that supernatural consciousness follows me into the meeting. Are we together? It's not in the meeting that I begin to train myself to see. No, outside the meeting, I have a discernment. I have a judgment. Don't forget, we started saying that epignosis, right? So that becomes a working knowledge in dealing with people, even outside church. So it's easy for me to receive in the services because the consciousness follows me into what? The service. Why? Those same people I'm relating with ordinarily outside the service, because of the engagement and activities that surrounds us, they are actually supernatural men. So the moment we now choose to gather for a supernatural purpose, those same men can now minister the power of God. The same men. Do you get it? The same men. The same person that we had to go to the park together and get food. The person was even going to cross the road and bike wanted to eat the person. Yeah, open your eyes now, close your eyes. Open your eyes now. So we get jovial. Then we crack jokes. Then when you believe belong to, but I think we're a Chelsea fan. Okay, I'm not Chelsea fan. When you belong to Chelsea. I belong to Stoke City. Oh, where did I mention Stoke City? Hey, Man City, thank you. That's the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And then, I belong to Man City. You belong to Man U. And then, let the Man U beat Man City. And then, by that, we will get our God. And then, we joke. We even crack jokes. We even mock each other. Are we together? With the football, we mock each other. That's why your club, look at you. That's why your club is like that. You cannot even amount to anything. You're good in your life. Look at your club. Look at you. You guys are in shape to football. Are we together? See, you must know how to do that. Yes, with the latitude of what? Of the supernatural in your heart. Because that same person, when you get into a Christian meeting with the fellow, he has the power of God to resolve your issues. Is it clear, church? Some of you, you say you have a roommate or you have a sibling as a minister of the gospel. Supernatural. So that consciousness follows us into the meeting.
Hallelujah.
So I bring that consciousness into the meeting. And that's what makes our meeting to be supernatural. He says, so cast out devils, says to speak with tongues, says to take up serpents, says to take any deadly thing shall not hurt you. He says, so lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Supernatural. Supernatural. So believers gathering is a gathering of men and women with miracle ministries. Men and women with supernatural signs. Are we together? So look at this. What makes the meeting supernatural? Huh? What makes the meeting supernatural? What makes the meeting supernatural is not the presence of God. God is present everywhere. What makes that garden supernatural is the believer. Because he says when two or three believers are gathered, there I am. So it is still his presence, but his presence is because of the believers. So God's presence in Christian garden is not like his presence everywhere else. Because while he is present anywhere else, he demonstrates his activities in the garden. Are you with me? Are you with me? So look at me, church. Are there things, look at everybody and stop writing. Are there things that I need from God? Are we together? Now, is God everywhere? Is he in your room? Is he on the football pitch? Is God in the shrine? Are we together? Does he endorse what is happening there? But does his presence feel everywhere? Is he in the bush? Is he in the city? Is he in the cinema? Is God in the mall? Is God in the market? Is he all around? Is his presence everywhere? But does he manifest his presence everywhere? No. He does that in his temple. Where is his temple? Where two or three people are gathered. Do you get it? So let me ask my question. Stop writing and look at me, everybody. Are there things I need from God? I will never get it elsewhere. Unless I enter into a meeting of believers. Thank you. You won't get it. If you like, pray the storm. You will not get it. You won't get it. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. Imagine Saul was the one telling himself, separate unto me Saul. You can't get those things in personal prayers. It is in the meeting. So there are things reserved in the meetings for the meetings that are not accessible in your private life. It's not accessible. So what does Christian meetings mean to us? It's a place where we access the supernatural like nowhere else. Is it clear? I'll continue from this on Sunday. Have a good afternoon, everyone.